CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We get together every weekday at this time for about an hour, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible. Look at current events through a biblical perspective. What we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? If you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, hey, that's why we're here. Give us a call. And today, especially, we have Brad Dacus with us from Pacific Justice Institute. So if you have a legal question, we have an actual real lawyer that you can ask questions to. And I always like that. And so that number again, 8888-ASK-CSN. And Brad, welcome to the program. Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute, PJI.org is their web address. If you've got a legal issue you want to talk to him about, PJI.org. Welcome, Brad, to the program.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on the program. Thank you.
Look forward to answering some questions with you today. Lots of crazy things going on. President Biden said he will not enforce the law on Sunday to shut down TikTok. But that's really, to me, not much of a surprise, being he just let thousands and thousands of pardons go to drug-related criminals. Your thoughts on this, Attorney Brad?
Yeah, it's a real shame to see that this president will go down in history as using the pardon to release more criminals than any president in U.S. history. He will go on to be recorded as the pro-criminal president in terms of the pardons, in terms of the criminals that he allowed to come across our border in mass. And then, you know, it's sad, but at the same time, I know many Americans are very relieved that pretty soon we're going to have a new sheriff in town, literally, who's going to have a different perspective on crime and putting the foot down against crime.
So anyhow, yeah, we've just got to, again, to keep persevering. It doesn't matter who the president is. We are, God said, Jesus said, we're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Don't ever forget who you are, and don't let anybody ever talk you out of who you are. You see, you have a divine purpose. You're not on this planet by accident. And the Bible tells us that we're here for a reason, to glorify God. You know, in Jesus, when he taught the disciples to pray, again, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, when we pray that, we're saying, okay, God, no longer I live, but you live within me to carry out your purpose and your plan for our lives. And I really believe that, friends. It's so important, the days we live. And so I just want to once again encourage you, let your light shine, because as the world gets crazier, you're going to shine brighter. And I like that. You know, Brad, having an eternal purpose, isn't that great? You know, real quick, for some of our new listeners, why don't you just explain very quickly what you do and your current, some of your current lawsuits that you can discuss. I realize you probably can't discuss all of them, but things that you can talk about, or what you have just gotten some. I know you got some great victories here in the last few months. Tell us about those, and again, tell us about PJI.
Oh, you bet. Right now, we at Pacific Justice Institute, we're lawyers, we defend religious freedom, parents' rights against the government, sanctity of human life, all without charge. And we do it with a huge network of attorneys, as well as law offices all across the United States. We've got so many interesting cases in New Jersey. We've got a great case there, suing the Attorney General, who has said that teachers, even if they're Christians, they have to use pronouns that violate their faith and lie to parents, deceive parents. It's outrageous. So we're suing the Attorney General. In Oregon, they have a lawsuit basically saying that Christian parents, you can't be foster parents. You can't adopt through the state unless you're willing to deny your faith and be willing to specifically affirm and encourage gender confusion if a child shows semblance of gender confusion. It's insane. And then in San Diego, we've got a case where we're defending a Christian preschool after Governor Gavin Newsom's state of California passed him, shut him down with like a SWAT type team. It's a preschool. And part of the reason was because the kids were being compelled to sing religious songs and hear Bible stories. I can't make this up. This is just insane. Well, we're litigating that aggressively, but we've got cases all over the country helping parents keep their kids from being taken wrongfully by social workers, keeping public schools in check, defending Christian business owners. And people out preaching and proclaiming the gospel being criminally prosecuted up in Michigan and other places. So we're keeping very, very busy, and we do all our work without charge. And what makes us so unique the most is that we don't just cherry pick a few high profile cases. Our goal is to make sure that everyone gets help. That's where we have more offices coast to coast than any other organization of our kind. In fact, we have 252 cases right now in active litigation, all of them without charge. So we love to serve the audience. If they need help, they should call us.
Wow, that's great, Brad. And again, a lawyer on the give, that's not something you normally find, but we're glad you're with us. And again, to answer some questions as well today. So if you have a legal question, today's your day. Otherwise, you'd be sure to call us. Brad has spoken not only in our church in Idaho, but he has spoken all over America in many different churches, very well skilled, not only in law, but in God's word as well. So a good person to talk to today. 8888, ask CSN's the number to call. We're going to go ahead and go to the phones. We have Marilyn on the line in Antioch, Tennessee. Hi, welcome from yesterday.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
I have a question about Hebrews 9:28. It says, he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. When I read that, I thought, is it possible that that verse is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ returning to the earth after the tribulation period, and these individuals, these believers, are waiting for him, and because we've already, those of us who believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, we have had, we are partakers of salvation now. So
yes.
Could it be?
And you were saying, Marilyn?
Yes.
Sorry, we lost about the last 10 seconds of that. Can you just repeat that again?
Oh, I'm sorry. So could it be that those who are waiting are the ones who have come through the tribulation and believe now in the true Messiah?
No, I really believe. Let me just read this so all the people can hear what we're finding. This is found in Hebrews in the New Testament, 9:27 and 28. We'll read these two together because I think they're very important, because it gives us the context of the verse in question that you're asking about, verse 28. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. So very clearly, the writer of Hebrews says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So any religions, organizations, anything that say, oh, no, there's purgatory, or there's a second chance, or we're going to baptize for the dead, or always the second chance, or you can pay, you know, a priest off and get Uncle Fred out of purgatory or whatever. That is not what the Bible teaches. Again, it's appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. So there's no reincarnation, nothing. Everybody's been put on this earth. You've been given a life. What did you do with it? Now, understanding that, verse 28 then comes in, the verse in question. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And so I can see your question here. And I do believe that, of course, Jesus, as he comes the second time, is not coming as the sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. He already did that in his first coming when he was born in the manger and then grew up sinless, died on a cross for our sins, took all of our sins on himself, and then rose from the dead to show and demonstrate that, in fact, he does have power over death. Some good news for all of us. Now, not to bear sin the second time, as it says, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, this, many people believe, possibly is addressing the Hebrew nation because they rejected their Messiah the first time. And so now, as he comes back, he's offering salvation to those, not in the mindset of dying on the cross again or dying for their sins. He already did that. But now the opportunity will be extended to them that they will be able then to, as the Bible says, they will say, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Bible says that the Hebrew nation will mourn for him like an only son. And in fact, in truth, Jesus is God's only son. And he died for them, but they rejected that. But I believe that veil that is upon the nation of Israel will be lifted. What causes this veil? I believe, as it was in the time of Jesus, and even before that, I believe pride is what causes this veil upon the nation of Israel. The Bible says pride is at the root of every sin. So when I understand that, the reason I would lie is because I don't want to get found out. There's always a reason why for the things we do, but it is the root is pride. Now, they said Abraham taught us to Jesus, or Moses taught us, our father Abraham. They were filled with religious pride, and it blinded them to the real understanding of their personal need to have their sins forgiven. Not just I was born into a Jewish family and that gives me carte blanche to do whatever I want to do, but rather that I, well, in the words of John the Baptist, which made his ministry so unusual, the pre-runner to Jesus Christ, to, again, I've shared this many times, but to convert to Judaism in the Old Testament from your pagan deities, you would renounce your pagan deities, your Atharos, your Baals, all these pagan worship practices. Number two, you would embrace Yahweh as your God. And then number three, you would take a ceremonial washing. What made John the Baptist's ministry unusual, and why I believe the Pharisees didn't like John the Baptist's ministry any more than they did Jesus Christ, was that he went to the Jewish nation saying, you, Jewish nation, you need to take a ceremonial washing. You see, because they believe they inherited their spirituality from their parents or from their tribe or whatever. We find this even today. You'll talk to people, and I have done this many times. I go, well, you know, what's your relationship with Christ? Well, I was baptized when I was a baby. Well, that's nice, but where's your relationship at with God today? They don't have any claim to that. They're putting their trust in something that actually, being baptized in a baby, that somebody did to them when they had no say even. See, the Bible says to repent and be baptized. And so in the repentance, you can't do that if you're an infant. So baby baptism is really not in the Bible. Now, baby dedication is, and Jesus was brought to the temple when he was 8 days old and dedicated to the Lord. And really, in baby dedications, it's two things. You recognize the life has come from God, and you're saying, okay, Lord, now we will dedicate ourselves in raising the child in your admonition, your ways, what pleases you. So it's really a twofold thing. So the idea that you inherit your spirituality, this was the problem. And so it may very well be the last part of this verse is addressing that great revival that will come to Israel at the second coming, at the end of the tribulation period, when their eyes are opened, they realize that Jesus, in fact, was their Messiah. And again, as I said earlier, they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with what you said. That was a great explanation. It's really, really clear that that in the word that we have to rely on our faith in Jesus. Baby baptism, that doesn't save us. Like you said, there must first be, redemption, repentance, and turning away from sin. And obviously, a baby doesn't have that capacity. So, Christianity is very simple. It's very clear, but it requires humility. It requires us to, to give up our pride and to think that there's somehow we can do it on our own or our own good works are going to do it. We've got to put our hope completely in what Jesus Christ did on the cross and believe not only in his death for our sins, but also his resurrection as well.
I hope that answers it for you, Marilyn.
Yes, it does. Thank you so very much for your answer. Thank you.
Well, God is good, and I hope that that answers it for you. Again, when he comes the second time, he's coming as Lord, conqueror, and king. The first time he came lowly as a servant to die for our sins in our place. But the second time he comes, the Bible says he will rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years here on this earth, and then throughout all of eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. Marilyn, stay online. Send you out some books, some DVDs I think you'll enjoy. And God bless you. Happy New Year to you. And may the Lord keep you in his love. If you need us, call us. We're here for you. Let's go to Kimberly in Roswell, New Mexico. Hi and welcome.
Hi, how are you all?
Good. How may we help?
Doing good.
So I wanted to see what you thought about, there's a church called Gathering of Christ Church. Someone was telling me about it, and it doesn't sit right with me. But some of their sayings is the black race is a true Hebrew, or the true Hebrew Israelites. They read a lot of Deuteronomy 28:68, and it's saying that our people were sold into slavery, brought from West Africa, after we fled Jerusalem, and no other people fit this prophecy. And Yeshaya is the Hebrew word for Savior, and Ahaya is the name of the Most High. I want to see what you all thought about this.
Well, there's no doubt there are people that are dark skin that can be Jewish. I mean, certainly, we remember Moses. After Zipporah had died, married an Ethiopian woman. Now, she would have been black. We remember Philip joined himself to a chariot, to a guy from Ethiopia that was going back, and he was reading the book of Isaiah when God spoke to him and said, go join yourself to this chariot. As he come up, this man is reading the book of Isaiah, and he said, do you know what you're reading? Philip says to this Ethiopian, he says, how can I unless someone tells me? Is he talking about himself or someone else? And so he reasoned with him from the scripture, and he accepted Christ as a savior. Now, to say that all black people are Jews, this is, of course, false. To say all white people are Jews is absolutely false as well. We know that not all people in the Middle East, brown skin, you might say, are Jews either, because we clearly remember Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And he was the Isaac was the father of the Jewish nation, Ishmael, the father of the Arab nation. And so understanding that this was not really a black issue, but to say that no black person is Jewish, you can't say that because there could have been somebody in their family that had married somebody Jewish. But to say that black people, Africans, are the true Jews, that is absolutely false, because it is very clear that Ham settled in the area south in the area we know as Africa. And so we have to be careful of this, nor are Jews white necessarily, coming from the Nordic area and England and Ireland and all that. No, they're from the Middle East. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, it's I agree with that. It's the Bible's, you know, is you answered that very well. I mean, need to respond any more than that. That was well done.
Well, you know, I just, like I say, I hope that helps, because, and here's the thing that we have to remember. I have friends that had, you know, they started off as just straightforward Christians, and then they, tried to get in all the Judaism stuff and keeping the Sabbaths and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't add anything to your spirituality. Jew or Greek, bond or free, makes no difference. We're saved by Jesus Christ, and he becomes our father, which makes everybody our brother and sister. So being of Jewish descent really adds nothing, zero, to your spirituality. And this is what the Bible says. There's no good thing dwells in the flesh. There's nothing I can do, you can do, anyone can do to generate spirituality. Well, no, Mike, you don't understand. Our church said if you go to the airport and sell flowers in an orange robe, you're going to make it, baby. No, our church says you got to go door to door handing out material. No, our church says you can't eat meat, pork. Our church says you got to worship on Saturday. There's nothing we do to make ourselves spiritual. Please, yes, remember that. Our spirituality, the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, he is the source of our spirituality. He is the source of my salvation. Not anything that I do, not any lineage that I may have, not anything that any distant relative may have done in the past. We each stand before the Lord in our own recognizance, whether Christian or whether you die in your sins. Only Jesus forgives sins. And this is why the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. Why does it say that? Because there's no priest, pope, Sunday school teacher, elder, bishop, church, name brand, anything like that that will ever save you. That's a manufacturing of our own spirituality. Now, here's what the difference is. When we become born again, we become his children. And that is no longer a legal relationship, but a love relationship. That I don't approach God in legality. I approach him in love, in what he's done for me. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven. That means we're his children. And this is what the cults never offer anybody, is first of all, the assurance of salvation. Number two, they always have you out earning, trying to earn what God has already given you. Well, if you get out there and, you know, eat enough organic food and wear enough orange or some other thing, you just might make it. You never know. Well, if you get to heaven and it wasn't enough, it's too late to do anything about it. That's why the Bible says that we that are in Christ Jesus, we know that we go to heaven, not because we're good, but because Jesus is good. That's what allows me to go to heaven, not because I was Jewish, black, white, any other color in the world, but it's because Jesus died on the cross for me and all those that are going to heaven as well. That's what makes the difference between true Christianity and the cults and the religions of the world. Because only true Christianity offers that we're his children, not merited, not predicated upon my performance. Well, you got to get sealed in the temple. for time and eternity. No, that isn't what the Bible teaches. That's not even what the Book of Mormon teaches. But this is the problem that we run into. They've got hooks in what they do. I'm just saying, come to Jesus. All you are heavy and heavy laden. The Bible says he'll give you rest. Rest from your labors. Rest from all those things you're trying to do to be something. And then because God is in our heart, he fulfills that emptiness. He forgiveness. We know we're forgiven. I don't have to drink anymore to escape from who I am. I don't have to get loaded in stone or go get bonged out because I can accept who I am now because Jesus lives inside of me. It changes everything. And the Bible says we pass from death unto life. Kimberly, I hope that helps.
Confirmed what I believed anyway. And I was trying to tell him that the law that Moses was giving, we're no longer under that law. We're under grace now. And the Bible says there's neither Greek nor Jew nor free man nor slave. And genealogy has a place, but not when it comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, he said they believe in God and Jesus, but I was just wondering what you guys were thinking about, because I think they've got it twisted.
Well, they're adding to God's word. Hey, listen, I go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross, not because of any relative, not because of any tribe I'm from, not from anything. And so this is why I want to make this point clear. It's a moot point. Why are you even bringing it up? It's some kind of a abstract idea that, well, black people are Jewish, and does that make you better than anybody else? No, we go to heaven because Jesus is good, not because of our heritage or our lineage. I think that's right. So important, Kimberly, right, for all of us to always remember. He's good. We're not, but we're found in him, and that's what makes us good. Stay in line. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. Coming up on a break, we'll have a whole lot more coming up right after this. We'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
You know, the new year is a great time to reconsider how we do things, like how to make things better in 2025. Like when it comes to the whole struggle of how to pay for your health care, people generally are not happy with the status quo. But there's good news. There's a much better option, and it's proven too. MediShare is refreshing. You can save thousands of dollars a year. Many save up to $500 a month, seriously. And you get to choose from a huge network of doctors and providers. And maybe the best part, and we know this from research on why people join MediShare, they love this. Instead of sending your money every month to a huge corporation that might fund all sorts of procedures or things you don't believe in, you're joining a faith-based network of people who actually care about each other. And like I said, that's refreshing. There is a better option. You don't have to do it the way you've always done it. You can make a change and start saving now. Here's the number. They're easy to talk to. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer on this Friday as we wrap up this week with Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute, attorney at law, representing people like you and me, our organizations against unfair laws that oftentimes we and our church organizations and others can find ourselves in, as oftentimes these people try to misinterpret the law to fit their own agenda. And so it's important that we know that we do have representation. And Brad does this for free. And Brad, again, I just want to say thank you for all the things you've done for so many people here on our CSN listening audience, as well as everywhere else. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We have such a great team of attorneys across the country doing this work, and other people on staff that are just putting their heart into the work. And it's just such a joy to help so many. We handle probably close to about 5,000 requests for assistance now a year, all without charge. And so people should never hesitate to contact us or go to our website to get our case updates, and keep us in prayer. Cause we've seen the power of prayer time and again in our litigation and our cases. So if they can do that, that'd be great. It's just our website, pji.org, pji.org.
And you can contact him there, and I know he'd love to talk to you. Well, let's go back to the phones we go. We have Carolyn on the line, Boise, Idaho. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. I have a family member that was married by a friend that went online and got ordained to perform the ceremony. I know it's legal by the state, but I just wonder if it's legal in God's eyes.
Well, you know, actually, in many states, I believe Idaho's one, if you go down and register with the courthouse, anybody can perform a wedding in Idaho. So I would say then, yes, it would be a legal marriage. It would be that part of it is true. Now, to get a certificate of ordination or ministerial license off the internet really does not in any way, shape, or form follow biblical protocol. Because when we go to the book of Acts, as an example, and we look at chapter 6 of Acts, they were overwhelmed with all the things that God had the disciples doing. And so they wanted to put some deacons in, as an example, in place to take care of these things. Now, these deacons, as we study scripture, went on, and many of them became pastors of churches. But let me just read the biblical way, not the internet, modern, 21st century way of being ordained. This is the way the Bible says. Now, I know if you follow God's word, you're going to be blessed. This is the way you do it. It says, "Now, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Very clearly, you get your leadership from the family of God, from the flock of God that are there, that you observe to make sure they're not a flake. You're not ordaining somebody to go out and be a pastor of a church, or even perform weddings for that matter. That's a lunatic. You know, Brad, this is probably a good question for you, in that I think it could carry some legal repercussions. And I realize every state has different laws concerning this, but what do you think of online ordination papers? Your thoughts?
Yeah, those are such a shame that they exist. And, the key is assessing this, like you said. You know, has this person been ordained by people who are servants of the Lord, who have demonstrated a practice of as being clergy and leaders of, you know, and pastors or in ministry. It's so important. That's the whole gist of what we're talking about. So the government may give you, or online you could have your little, you know, online ordination, but it's the key question we should always go back to is, how does God see this? You know, is God like, "Oh yeah, I don't think anything of it. Anyone can just get ordained on the computer." Or does God see ordination and the commitment to serve in that capacity as something that's holy and a calling? And of course we know the answer is the latter, not the former. So yeah, I think it's important for you to do that. I will say this, the real issue today, frankly, is not whether or not someone gets married at the courthouse or they get married in the church. It's whether they get married at all. People shacking up is so common. And some pastors and churches are silent and they don't talk about it because they have so many who are shacking up in their church. That is sin. That's fornication. Clear cut fornication. When you're having intimacy, sexual intimacy with someone who is, you have not been married to, made that covenant and commitment, that is sin. And I just want to say to everyone out there in the audience right now, if you're shacking up with someone, you're in sin and you need to repent from that. You need to turn from it, stop it. And if you are just saying in your heart, well, yes, well, we're, you know, I'm committed, you know, my heart to him. Well, then get married and get married as unto the Lord. It's a covenant. It's a holy covenant. It's not just a contract. It's not just a legal recognition. It's a covenant before God. Do it the right way and get married. But stop shacking up, living outside of marriage. That is a clear, continual mockery of what God's created in terms of for a man and a wife, a man and a woman to do, which is to get married. And it's clear fornication according to the Word of God.
Yeah, just repent and get married. Not a hard thing.
Right.
And you say, well, I really don't want to marry this person. Then move out. Because right. You're holding on to something that God may want to give somebody else to you, but because you're unwilling to make a commitment, you're in no man's land. So important. Carolyn, I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. It does. Thank you.
God bless you, dear. And again, if there's anything we can do, please let us know. Stay online. Send you out some books, some DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Great to share with your family and friends. Let's go to Tony, Las Vegas. Hi and welcome.
Hello, Pastor Mike and also Attorney Brett.
Yes, hi.
Pastor Mike, how are you?
Good.
You said that. Good. Thank you for your program. I listen every day, so I really appreciate it. So you mentioned that Moses' wife, because she was from Ethiopia, she was black. I disagree with that. But she,
well, we don't know for sure, but we know that it caused problems within Moses' family. They objected to a lot of that. And so, but you're right. We don't know for sure. And I stand corrected on that. Most Bible scholars believe that because of being from North Africa, that she would have been black, but we don't know that for sure. And absolutely, dear, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's almost like saying when Malcolm X went, he believed that there was no, that Africa, they were black until he went to Mecca and he found out that there was not. There was a mixed race of people. So, yeah, I think that's important because people believe that because you're from Ethiopia or Africa, you have to be black. And we know that that's not the case.
So, yeah. And so anyway, but no doubt they weren't blonde haired, blue eyed Irishmen either. And I think that that's, you know, I think that that's something we have to understand in that part of the world. And in Northern Africa, people have darker skin. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I would prefer to have darker skin, especially if I lived in that area of the world. Because as anybody knows, if you're light-complected and you're out in the sun, and right now they say that melanomas, carcinomas, basal cell cancers are just everywhere because we were a generation that basically grew up in the sun. And because of that, so many people now have these different things. I had a melanoma removed from my back. Thank God they got it early. I know another individual that was very late. He didn't go regularly to have his skin checked out. And the melanoma got into his bloodstream and he had melanoma cells on his lungs. So very, very serious. I mean, when we understand this, so that color in skin, I believe is so important. And if you don't, man, skin block number 90. Last Saturday, I went to a flea market and they had these hats with great big brims on them. And then attached to the brim was like almost like a towel that hung off the brim to cover your neck and your shoulders. I bought two of them. 'Cause like I say, when they start chopping stuff off you, it ain't good. So, Brad, any last thoughts?
Yeah. It is important to note that, that there, you know, when we say to even today, well, this is how someone looks or looked back then because that's how their country is today. In reality, we actually have seen through history different ethnic groups actually advancing and decreasing in different parts of the world, and Africa is no exception to that. Another example of that, for example, is Iran, where Iran actually used to be very Caucasian. And then when the Islamic world happened and Muhammad came and they went and invaded and conquered Iran, their skin became darker because of the Arabic DNA. So I think that's a real good point. We can't really assume necessarily what the ethnicity is of someone back then based upon simply our observation today or what we speculate it was back then. So that's a very good point.
Hope that helps.
Yes, and I think Mama makes the point that she was a Moabite, and I think that was more the issue than her skin color.
Well, it said she was a Cushite, so I hope that shed some light on it for you there. Anyway, I hope that sheds some light on it. Tony, stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll enjoy them. Great to give to your friends, especially people that are so hard to talk to about the Lord. They'll watch a DVD. Like I tell people on God of Wonders, I go, watch this. Tell me what's wrong with it. And they'll watch it objectively then. And it points there has to be a God. There's no way everything that we see could have just evolved, just happened by happenstance. Impossible. So, Tony, stay online. We'll get you taken care of, dear. Thanks for that little insight there. Appreciate it. Always do. And let's go to Lori in Carson City, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. How may we help?
My question is, you know, the wisdom that we gain here on earth in God's word, but then let's say you break all of it and you know better. Will you be punished for that? Will you go to hell for that?
You know, 1 John in the Gospels, in the epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1 John says, he says, my little children. So he's talking to believers. He says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. So I have found in being a Christian for many years, I sin. I still sin. Don't want to. Well, sometimes I want to, but the Bible says sin never does me good. And when I begin to see how God sees sin, I realize why God doesn't want me to sin. It's just like watching your children do something you know is going to put a hurt on them. And you go, oh, I wish you wouldn't do that, but they won't listen to you. And they do it anyway. And then they go, oh, it's all broken. I remember one time I did something like that. And I knew my dad was going to kill me. And I remember he came in the room and it was all over after he told me not to do it. And I thought, this is how you die. And I remember he looked at me and he had a smile on his face and he said, did you learn anything? And I said, yeah. And he says, good, clean it up. That's all he said. Didn't hit me, didn't beat me, nothing. He just said, did you learn anything? Oh, yeah, I learned Daddy was right and I was wrong. And, you know, when our Father in heaven speaks, when we listen to him, we're going to live. And we can rebel against that. We can do our own thing. We can go your own way, as the song on the radio says. But there's death in the end. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I love 1 John because it just shows us the reality of who we are, even as Christians, of how we still have our sinful nature. Chapter 1, verse 8 of 1 John, you know, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And some people say, well, he's just talking to the non-believers. No, he's talking to believers because in verse 9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 10, he goes back to the denials and say, those denying and saying, look, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And then chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I've written to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know, so there's so much assurance. And one thing that Satan likes to do when we as believers sin is to put that little doubt in our mind of like, maybe this was one sin too many. Maybe I've just gone one step too far. And that's not scriptural. Our God's love is there. And yeah, we may get disciplined. Yeah, there may be consequences because the loving God tells us what to do, not because he wants to be mean, but because he loves us and wants what's best for us. So we may have consequences, but if we put our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ, he is there with open arms to receive us and to forgive us and to restore us and heal us. As Christians and moving forward, which is also important. Sometimes people say, "Well, yeah, okay, he'll forgive you," but you're out to lunch. You're in the pasture. God can't use you. That's another lie. No, God is through the cross is there to not only to forgive, to redeem, but also to heal and restore. And that's why it's all about him, and it's not about us. Praise God for that.
Amen. Amen. I hope that answers it for you, Lori.
I always thought that Matthew 25:14-30 was kind of, you know, talking about sin. You know how they work all day, one comes in the beginning and then afternoon and one at almost
oh
the
yeah
end of the
well
shift.
That's talking about God's forgiveness. And the thing is, the Bible says a man had a job to do. He went down to the marketplace. He saw some people standing around. Hey, go get in my field and I'll pay you, you know, I'll pay you a day's labor. Then the other guys, about noon, he goes down, same thing. Go down and I'll pay a day's labor. At 5 o'clock, right before quitting time. Well, when it came time for everybody to be paid, he paid the people that he hired last first. So he paid the guys that came on at 4:45, 15 minutes before quitting time, gave them a day's labor. Oh, they went away rejoicing. Now, the people that were hired first goes, wow, he gave them a whole day's labor for 15 minutes or so worth of work. Mike paraphrased, but you can check it out. He's going to give us a whole lot of money. Well, when it came time to pay them, he gave them a day's labor wage as well, the same as the people. And they said, that's not fair. We bore the heat of the sun. We worked in the toil of the day. And he said, what's your problem? I told you I would pay you what I paid you, and I did. And because my eye is good and I want to bless people that only work for me 15 minutes as an example, the same wage I paid you, why are you saying I'm evil because I'm generous? They're speechless. So I really believe that a lot of times we look at that and think, you know, and I know a lot of times people that accept the Lord younger in life, they realize the times they ran off the rails. And then people that are older in life, when they come to Christ, they go, oh, well, you know, all that stuff's forgiven. But it's all forgiven for us that have been Christians for a long time. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we can't put limits on the forgiveness through faith in Christ. It's so powerful and it's almost hard to understand and comprehend. Also, when we look and understand how terrible hell is going to be, eternal separation from God and His love and everything that is good, we shouldn't want anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And we as Christians should just utterly rejoice when we see someone come to Christ, even if it's at the very tail end of their life. Praise God for that. And because we're all sinners, we're all deserving on our own by our own works to not be with God, to go to hell. So it's something we should all rejoice in and understand how unique and different God is, in that he is so loving and so gracious to forgive us if we simply humble ourselves and put our faith in Jesus and in him alone.
Amen. So he's going to have to forgive me clear to the day I go to be with him and get a brand new body that ain't prone to sin. But yep. Until that time comes, hey, walk every day with the Lord. Keep him first in your life. You're going to be blessed. Lori, I hope that helps. God bless you, dear, and thanks so much for the call. And stay online. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. Going back to our caller before that, I just want to read the verse on the Ethiopian wife of Moses. This is found in Numbers 12:1, okay? It says, in this verse, Moses' siblings criticize him for marrying a Cushite woman. And so we find that this is where that comes from. And I think, again, we do that. Now, Zipporah, Moses' first wife, the Bible tells us she was a Midianite. But the second wife that he had laid on, this is almost at the end of his life, Aaron and Miriam, his sister, his brother and sister, were criticizing for marrying a Cushite woman. So you can check that out. Look that up if you'd like. Back to the phones we go. Okay, so we have with us Tom on the line from Oregon. Hi, welcome, Tom.
Hey, hello.
Yes, how can we help?
Am I there?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. I had a question for Brad, and it's more of a, I don't want to be on national radio when I ask him, so I was wondering if maybe I could ask him something, or I could get a number from him or something where I could call.
Brad, your
thought? Oh, yes, certainly. My number, direct number is 916-719-9510. My work number is 916-857-6900. So if it's an urgent matter, feel free to call me on my direct line. I'd be happy to take your call. And otherwise, you feel free to call me next week on the work number. That's fine, too. Either way.
So I hope that helps.
It's the weekend. I'll let you go. But there's something really kind of urgent that I have to get off my chest and ask you some questions about.
Okay. Yeah. Well, love to talk to you. If you need to talk earlier, then feel free to call me on my, my cell phone. And you bet.
I don't know any attorney. I don't know any attorney that gives their personal cell phone out. Brad, you're amazing. You can barely get a hold of your paid attorney when you make an appointment and you give people your cell phone number. That's pretty incredible. You're a blessing. Hope that helps, and call him when you need to. I think you'll be blessed. Let's go to Frank, Palm Springs, California. Hi, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Mike, Brad.
Yes.
It's a geography question. The earth was formed on the waters, and I believe it was flat until Noah's deluge, which opened up the storehouses of the deep, and we got mountains because Mount Ararat. Mm-hmm. When Peleg was there, the land separated. Were all the mountain ranges already formed?
No, I don't believe they were. Now, it's hard to say what happened after the flood, what that geologically did to our earth. But it's interesting, in almost every culture around the world, they all speak of a great flood. Now, the word Peleg in the Bible means, and this was the guy's name, and it's very common, especially in your Polynesian islands, even today, that you will name a child after an event that happened. Because day in, day out, when your weather is 82 and 72 every day, time just kind of all blends together. When I was in Tonga building a radio station, a Christian radio station, back in 1993, I remember I met a girl and her name was Telephone. And I thought, well, I've heard girls on telephones. I never heard a girl named Telephone. Well, I could tell by her age, it was probably about 30 years before telephones came to the island. And a couple came by the radio station there in Nuku'alofa, the capital, and where our studios were. And they knocked on the door. We came to the door, and they had a little baby in their arms. And they said, we love listening to the Christian radio station. And they showed us their baby. This is our baby. Her name is Radio Atomoto. And I go, what does that mean? And he said, it means voice of the islands. They named their child after the radio station that was built. And I thought, wow, that is so amazing that they do that. Peleg, when the earth broke apart, continental drift, the plates crashing into one another, shoving the mountain ranges up. I think that's where they came from. Frank, we're out of time. PJI.org. Brad, it wants to talk to you. And for all those that are on the line, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing on Monday. Or Tuesday, excuse me, Tuesday. Until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Good night.
To receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.